wonderful little nuggets, these bridal glories that God has been pointing out to us as we've gone along. And they're all over in Philippians, we know that, but these are just a few. And just as we begin each time, remembering that this is written to the Philadelphia saints at Philippi. And the word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this wonderful word is alive and well to those same Philadelphia saints that are here at Denver. And I thank God that we have that calling, and it is that real, and is that alive. And it's always been that alive, but it's so present in its wonder of what it's going to reveal, because we know the Lord is coming. And we see that it is soon approaching, and we're so thankful to God for this. But let's go ahead in chapter 2, and we'll begin reading from verse 19. And this is Paul speaking here. And he says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." Isn't that wonderful? He didn't serve with him with anything but the gospel. "Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful." Isn't that wonderful? And here we go. "Receive him, therefore, in the Lord, with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." Once again, "Receive him in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation." And I thank the Lord, because in a way, my heart swells in such gladness the way that God and his grace had the brethren to receive this brother as the Lord called me to be your pastor. And this has very special meaning in many different ways, but I want you to know that the evidence of the first love of the Philadelphia saints in Philippi, thanks be to God, because of the word of his grace, it is present and abundant here. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I am grateful for that. And I will tell you, it's not to shine anyone except to give glory to God and to thank the Lord for this encouragement that we have, that we don't just love one another, but by the grace of God, there is a perfect love, a complete love for one another. When we are truly running for God's best, there isn't anything else we want than for one another to win his best. We're going to have a like heart, a like mind, a like soul of Brother Paul. There won't be anything that will be more dear to us than to run and to run well with our brethren. And I thank God that that love that is willing to be received, God supplies it bountifully. Now, Paul here, as we know, is such a glorious witness of the word of God. You talk about an apostle, a pastor, a vessel beyond, if you will, in grace and mercy. And even though he was going to be departing to heaven, the ministering of Paul's gospel was not going to end. It was never going to end with a man, because it wasn't of man, it was of God. And it was given unto him. And it was given unto him for him to be, again, as we read, that dispensation was given unto him. And I thank God that in that we see that it was given out through, the wonderful vessel that was the chosen vessel unto God. We know that he was the chief of sinners. God using this wonderful life that was so against the things of God to magnify the grace of God, that that life could win God's very best. Praise God that we are truly without excuse even in that witness. Now, but here was the test for these brethren, if you will. Whether it would be the old sick Epaphroditus, or yet it was going to be the young man Timothy, both of these, as we know in this passage, were both followers of Paul as he followed Christ. But the question was, were these saints going to be in love with Paul, or were they going to be in love with the gospel of Paul? Did you hear that? Are you in love with Paul, or are you in love with the gospel of Paul, or Paul's gospel? Now, were they going to receive the message from another vessel? That's a big thing. And I want us to think about this tonight, and think about, do we have this perfect love? And by the grace of God, I'll tell you what, we all have room for it to grow. Amen? Oh, yeah, well, come on, we can get a little fussy. You know how we are. He put us in these icky things, and we get lots of ideas that are really bad. But were they going to receive the message from another vessel and continue and even increase in rejoicing? Or were they going to shut down and say, Paul was my pastor, and that's where it ends? Paul was my pastor, and that's where it ends. Yeah, we see this, don't we, sometimes? Now, let me tell you this. If that was their heart, this letter wouldn't have been written to them. See, it wasn't written to them. It wasn't written to the saints at Galatia, was it? It wasn't. It was written to this wonderful little group of saints at Philippi. It was precise and it was exact. I was thinking about those Galatian saints. They were always comparing one another with one another. They were thinking about who walked the best, you know. And then you go over to the church of Corinth, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, and I'm of Cephas, and all of these different things. And it was like, whoa, 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 whoa. But you notice, this letter wasn't written to them. Now, it would be for them, you know that. But once again, the Lord doesn't just throw it around willy-nilly. It's exact, it's precise. And you think of, where is this message preached today? Here's the exact, precise targets that God is sending it to. Know how valuable you are to him. Know how real this is and immediate this is in truth. And this isn't to make you feel good. This is to get you to wake up to how gracious God is to you. Now, you think about this very sweetly, but this letter wouldn't have been to them, because it tells us these saints clearly, this full overcoming letter is to those that receive with all gladness and highly esteem the ministering vessels that the Lord will bring forth, praise God, to preach Paul's gospel. Amen? See, that's what this is. This message is to those, and to wake those up that might be a little bit sleepy to it. Let me tell you something. You better highly esteem and gladly receive the ministering vessels of Paul's gospel. Well, here they are, because you're ministering saints. And I know by the grace of God, you have Paul's gospel. Do you see how we should highly esteem one another unto the Lord? Not in knowledge, but in love. And thanking God that we have ones that have said, you know what? There is no other gospel. This is what I want to hear. This is the only thing I'm going to hear. This is why you come in here on Wednesday nights. We have families coming in here and with kids and all of these different things. Because they desire, they pant after to hear the one thing. They know that there isn't anything more valuable in this life than to hear this. And again, to let that line upon line and precept upon precept come forth. But notice here, Paul tells them, receive him in the Lord with all gladness. Doesn't mean some gladness. Matter of fact, it means full joy. Are you full of joy when you see someone get up to minister Paul's gospel? Or do you say, man, it's that guy? God help us, amen. I've been there. I know that. I get that. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need to have this heart. And Paul is telling them, you need to have this heart. Sure, they knew Epaphroditus. That was maybe an easy one for them. But this Timothy guy, he's just a kid. Maybe some of these had walked in the Word of God and walked in Paul's gospel longer than Timothy. Maybe some of them thought that maybe they should have the calling instead of Timothy. But Paul didn't go there, did he? He said, these are God's men. These are the ones in the vessels who God has chosen for this. Receive them with all gladness. And highly, isn't that wonderful? Highly, I love that, hold them in reputation. And it does refer to that as being highly. I'm so thankful to God in that. Now, once again, these were ones that God had caused to follow Paul as he followed Christ. As it says here, to hold in such reputation, it means to honor, prized, and most precious. And the reason why these vessels were honored, prized, and most precious is because they were like-minded with Paul. It wasn't because they had great ability. It wasn't because they were all papered or anything like that. But they were like-minded with Paul. And matter of fact, that word like-minded that we read earlier on in the scripture, it means equal in soul. It means the same spirit. It doesn't mean that they had the same mannerisms. It doesn't mean that they preached the same, looked the same, acted the same way. But the thing was that they had the same fully purposed heart. I need to rejoice even more when I hear Paul's gospel. Praise God. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we can be encouraged in this. Now, how exceedingly graced we are and have been blessed in this precious meeting. Amen? Vessels abundant in love with the truth and love. Abundant. I thank God that, and it's not that all are teachers. It's not that all are preachers. We understand this. But I am thankful to God for the abundance of the ones that are able to teach in this meeting. The ones that are able to bring forth the Word of God. And I would say, by the grace of God, every one of us can begin to tell and explain the whole counsel of God in Paul's gospel. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? What is ministering? Is it to 10? Is it to 100? Is it 1,000? Or is it even to 1? Amen. And I thank the Lord. I think Jeremiah showed us that, didn't he? That was a mighty prophet. We don't even know if he ever preached to one. We don't know if he even had really a follower, kind of. But, you know, it was very thin at that time. So it wasn't about numbers, was it? It was about the ministering of the Lord to that vessel anyways. But I thank the Lord that, you know, when we're taught the truth and we receive the truth, by the grace of God, we talk about the truth and our lives minister the truth. And I thank Jesus for that. But now, when vessels are in love with the truth, and in that, you will be in love with one another. Because when you're in love with the truth, you'll be in love with the body of Christ. Do you know that? When you're truly in love with the truth, you'll be in love with the body of Christ. When you're truly in love with the truth, you'll not forsake the assembling or gathering of yourselves together. Because it's first love. Once again, there's the head and there's the body. It's all our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, isn't it? He's got a head and he's got a body. So we're not to differentiate in a sense in that love. It's still the same love. He wants us to love one another as we're loved of God, and God is loved of the Son, and we are loved of them, and in that love to love one another. It's mighty. And this is the ones that are receiving this. This is why these are the Philadelphia saints. They are full and abound in brotherly love. They love the brethren. And this is what's exciting about this. Yes, they highly esteem one another in the truth. We realize how beyond precious the bridal body is. And go on over to chapter 3, verse 7 of Philippians. Notice what it says here in chapter 3, verse 7. Oh, excuse me here. 17, I'm sorry. It says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which so as ye have us for an ensample. Once again, there's the mark. And that's where Paul is, again, bringing all of the thoughts back to. It's not the person. It's the treasure in that person. It's not the vessel. It's not the ability. It's by the grace of God. It's that wonderful message of truth and love. And I thank God for that. And I'll tell you, growing up, and so graced to grow up in hearing different ones bring forth this precious message. Oftentimes, it's been ones that maybe don't speak as well, ones that don't necessarily have as much finish as you are polish, I should say, that really sometimes I've gleaned the very most from in a sermon. Because it was so sincere and it was so to the point. And I thank God that it was done in such humility and humbleness that you could get through all of the person and all really you saw, because you didn't want to see that person anyways. All you wanted to see was the best part. And you saw the very heart of God. And I thank the Lord for this. And I'm always praying for our assembly and that we would treasure these vessels more and more. That we wouldn't think of really, in a sense, who's speaking. It doesn't matter who's speaking. It matters what's speaking and what's being spoken about. Isn't that true? It's so marvelous. And I'm grateful to God. Now, once again, I'm not saying that everybody has, again, that calling, if you will, to minister from a pulpit or minister even in a classroom. But thank the Lord for those that the Lord has called forth. It's very important, and I'm thankful for the testimony to all of those generations. And I thank God that we have many that we can mark, just like it says here. Mark them by the grace of God. I hope each and every one of us are marking the testimonies of glory that are following after that love. It doesn't matter how successful the life is. You know how I can measure how successful a life is? Do they show up to hear the Word of God? I'm not kidding. And I know we're bruised. I know we're battered. I know we all struggle. That's why we get in here. Thank the Lord for that. You realize you got a need. We don't come in here. You don't get a certificate for perfect attendance. You don't get anything like that. We don't give certificates out for baptism and any of those types of things. That's great. That's wonderful because it's a testimony of the faithfulness of God and His Word. Amen. But we don't take roll. There is no membership. Amen. We just thank the Lord that God has graced you to love the truth, that you come into this meeting to hear the Word of God. That's exciting. That's wonderful. That's why, by the grace of God, you want to see everybody in here from every walk of life that looks like everything of this world could throw at us, that by the grace of God, they're here. And they're here to hear the Word of God. Lord, help us. Amen. Now, the Bible also tells us to mark them in Romans 16, 17, and 18. So let's go read about the other ones that the Lord says is to mark. It says to mark those that follow Paul as he followed Christ. Let's read about these in Romans 16, 17, and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So you mark them. See, I want you to really understand where this is going. This isn't just looking at the world and the evangelists out there. These are the ones that we interact with. You need to understand about these types of, and I will say, brethren, that are out to divide and cause divisions. And they do it with flowery speech, things that might even make sense to your mind. Do you see that this includes those that state reasons they refuse to love a brother for things that they're trying to justify in their mind? They'd bring out a brother or something of that nature to expose his wrongdoing. That's causing division. That's contrary to the Word of God. Mark them. Know who they are. And avoid them. You pray, but there's no fellowship there. And it's very apparent. It's very apparent. Be with those that truly are in love with the Lord, because they will love you perfectly to encourage you in the things of God. Amen. Spiritual ones always restore. Spiritual ones always want to come to the need of their brethren. Spiritual ones do make big mistakes. Spiritual ones do mess up. They disappoint. But one thing about spiritual ones, they'll have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. and especially to the Church of Philadelphia. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful I know that. Now, I mentioned this the other night. We rejoice so much in our precious little meeting God has given us here. Our fiery elderly ones, I love them. They're so fun. They bubble up and percolate and all that. And then our middle age, and I guess I'm right there with them. And we're thankful, praise God, for that praise and worship in them. But then, how about the youth that have taken hold? Do we mark our young ministers? Do we mark them? Are they in samples to you? Oh, yes. Oh, I'll tell you what, you better have a joy and a rejoicing, or you're missing something. Do you glory and receive the anointing oil that pours off of them to anoint you? I'll tell you, this last camp was one of the greatest glories to my heart. I just absolutely delighted in the Lord. It was so funny how the enemy, well, we're just going to discourage this one. No pastor from out of town coming in. You know, this is just what's happened over here. I'll show you what happened over here. The glory of His grace broke out over here. And we have all these ministers coming up forth. What a testimony. They all got filled in them camps. Thank you, Jesus, for these camps. Thank you for providing them, Lord. And that's the truth. But most importantly, thank you for the abundant infilling of your Spirit in those camps. And then your keeping. And the keeping that keeps us in the word of His grace and not veering off here or veering off there. Not coming at ones in a harsh manner and saying, well, this is how you've got to live to go on with God. Let me tell you something. You better preach grace. And you better preach more grace. And you better preach grace for grace. And I'll tell you what, that's what will grow up the people. That's what will have people growing up and becoming the mature sons of God. That will fall in love with the lover of their soul. That will be transformed from glory to glory. That begin to really get their lives in Christ. They begin to understand why they have all these shortcomings. They begin to understand why they have these thorns. Thank the Lord that you get it. Because it's there for every life. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. But here you are. Here you are. How are you any different? It's because you saw the grace of God. That's it. It was all right there, and it's still all right there for people. But you see that. And sure, it's a fight. It's a good fight of faith. That means there's things coming at you all the time. Coming at you in ways that you never wanted, never thought, never expected. Asked the Lord and sought Him for, not just 3 times, 3,000 times. Lord, take it from my life. But here you are. Here you are. And if He took it, you wouldn't be here. Oh, it gives me chills all over my body to think about the faithfulness of God. But I get it. Now, there'll be time this dummy, I'll be wrestling with it. Well, Lord, it can't be that way. I can't be such a mess and yield to God. Oh, I want that mess. Show me a life in here that wasn't a mess. Come on. I've heard ones talk about David. Well, you know, yeah, he was always the man after God's own heart. He had a really bad time there with Bathsheba and all that. Let me tell you something. He wrapped up his life numbering the people. And you know what God still said? He's still the man after my own heart. Quit getting self-righteous. Especially in the scriptures. You look such a fool. Such a fool. Thank you, Lord. All right, now, to thank the Lord for these young ministers. And not just the ones that speak, and I want us to understand this. Ones that live this wonderful bridal glory in deed and in truth. Their life testifies, if you will, that they are in love with the bridal doctrine. And how does that happen? You want to hear it. You want to be around it. By the grace of God, you want to know it. And I thank the Lord for that. And I'm grateful to God that there's a longing for us to see one another and to hear one another in these things. Thanking God upon every remembrance of my brothers and sisters that are in love with Paul's gospel. Do you meditate on them every day too? Do you meditate on one another? Thanking the Lord for the trials that are going on. Thanking God for, again, his grace that has had us to have faith in his faithfulness during sickness. During times of losing a job, how many in this place, by the grace of God, have lost their house? Waiting on jobs. Young people that have been done very wrong. Young people and old people, too, that have made great mistakes. Oh, but I will not utterly cast you out. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's marvelous. Those are champions. Those are the champions. The champion isn't the guy that thinks he walks upright all the time. No. He's uptight. I want to rock upright. That is true. And it is true. We walk upright by grace. Amen. Thank the Lord for you. It's wonderful. We need to become more loving and get less critical. We get a little critical. We don't need to be critical of one another. We need to be thankful for one another. And thankful and thankful and thankful for one another. Now, the Bible tells us, let love be without hypocrisy, without dissimulation. And I'll tell you what, when you really receive that, it's a double portion for us, brothers and sisters. And there's a double portion in here if you let it flow. There's always going to be something to bug you. Know that. There always will. Out there, in here. And then out there comes in here. But know that God orders these things. He ordered it for you. You individually. And if you were any different, and if people treated you any different, you wouldn't be loving the gospel of Christ like you love them. Now, I'm not kidding you. You have to understand these things. And believe God for this. God is faithful and true. He didn't just give ones a better deal than another. He gave you all the best, the very, very best. When we're born of God, we are all born little lords of all, little kings ready to inherit it all. If you'll just go up to it, grow up and believe God in his faithfulness. But it is a surrendering thing. And it's amazing. You look around here, and I thank God. Every walk of life, every kindred, tongue, and nation, each one of us, by the grace of God, has made the decision, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm not going to worry about all the winds of doctrine, the winds of politics, the winds of today. God placed me here. He placed me perfectly here. I am what I am by the grace of God. And he is faithful and true. Faithful to perform the good work which he has begun in you. Oh, God, help us to be a more thankful people. And thankful for one another. Thankful for our own lives. But thankful for the body of Christ. And what a supplying it is. And to be able to lift up the hands of one another. To say, oh, no, honey. Run and run well. This is ordered of the Lord. We're walking before ordained good works. We're stepping in gold. Upon gold, upon gold. Now, let's hear this. Let's let brotherly love abound. And love all the brethren, no matter what. Don't miss his love perfected in you. Turn on over to 1 John. Got to kind of move. Chapter 4, verse 16. But I'm having fun in the Lord. How about you? It says in 1 John 4:16, it says, and we have known, isn't that wonderful? See, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Now listen to this. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. See, this is vital, brothers and sisters, this dwelling. I believe all of us would say we want to dwell in God. Live that. I love that. And let's take it to that height. Walking in the Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit. Well, he that would dwell in God, I'll tell you the requirement, you better be dwelling in love. You can be dwelling in all knowledge, but if you don't have love, it doesn't profit anything. You could know all mysteries. Think of this, even the mysteries that are in this wonderful Word of God. And that's what it's speaking of. I could know all those mysteries, but if I don't have the love of God, it profits me nothing. This isn't Bible lit. Amen. You see. Now, when you grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who are we growing in? We're growing in grace and truth. And grace is the highest height of love there could ever be. Yes, it's the love of God, but it's multiplied in every direction and every way. So we know when we grow in Him, we're growing in love. Amen. But you talk about the encouragement and healing, abounding hope and praise that grows in our lives. You talk about a life, and I tell you something. I love when the Lord's mind just reigns in me to meditate on the lovely and the good report and the true. There's a lot of yuck out there. There's a lot of things that hurt. And I'm talking about even truly with brethren that disappoint. But why meditate on the disappointing when you can rejoice in an abundant good report? It's amazing how we seem to want to magnify and concentrate on one that's trying to stir it up, as opposed to 99 other spiritual ones. Yeah. But that's our old man, isn't it? We all jump in that one. But that's where I'm thankful that, you know, this starts to really work in us as we go back to our portion of Scripture. That's why in chapter 3, it begins, rejoice forever. That's what that means. Forever and ever and ever and ever and evermore. And that's the rejoicing that comes forth. We'll get there maybe next week. Now, how rich we are, brothers and sisters. We are rich because we receive this letter that was written to the Philippians. The testimony that pours forth is the same love, love, love. I want us to think about, as we were talking about even the young ones, remember when we studied about Jonathan, David's very dear friend, amen? Remember how we said how it was amazing how Jonathan came from, obviously he was the son of Saul. So his dad was the king, he had all this pedigree, and there was his family, and yet here he was after David had slain Goliath, and he's in there giving the testimony. And Jonathan's probably almost 50 years old, and here's this little 16-year-old kid, maybe 18, probably less than that, probably 14, 15, excuse me, right there. And Jonathan, his heart is just absolutely entwined and made one with David. It didn't matter about his age. There was an anointing there that anointed Jonathan's heart. That's God's man. That's God's minister. That's God's, if you will, anointed. How about the disciples receiving and commending young Stephen? There was Stephen. He was just a young man, but he was chosen by them through the Lord to lead. And why? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost. There was an outpouring of love upon that life. There was an outpouring of that joy of the Lord that was his strength, that he knew the faithfulness of God. The same thing with David. And sometimes I have to tell you, it seems like yesterday when the Lord called me to pastor, I remember by the grace of God the love that overwhelmed me that I was met with. The Lord knew what he was doing. And I'm thankful to God, overwhelming from the saints. Praise God. And the wonderful abundance of love and encouragement. And I pray that we know that, now, with God, we can do anything. We know that. But I'll tell you what, when the Lord works in us, isn't it wonderful to be part of what the Lord's doing? Amen. That's a benefit. It's a benefit to you and to everyone else as well, too, is allowing the Lord to work in you. And I remember such sweet encouragement, too, from my elders. I remember sweet Brother McLam, some of the very dearest things that he said to my heart early on. I remember my sweet uncle. I remember so sweetly Fernie. I was warned And I don't know my aunt real well, don't get me wrong. But I didn't know her as far as kind of being a pastor in the meeting. Oh, she's going to be the sergeant at arms. She's going to control you. She's going to do all these things. I mean, I had pastors call me from out of town. You got to watch this and you got to watch that and everything. And I remember the very first thing that she ever said to me was, whatever I can do or continue to do for you, I am thankful you are my pastor. She never, ever once came up against me. Never, ever once told me what to do. Never, ever once got heated with me in any way, shape, or form like she used to when I used to antagonize David when I was a kid. But that's God. You get that? Amen? That's God. That's the love of God. And the immensity, like I will say, the immensity, and not to compare, but the love that we have, not had, have for Brother Hill. The love that we have for the grace and the truth that was ministered. A debt we couldn't repay. But it wasn't to him anyways, it was to the Lord. But once again, what God was proving for those that are in love with the truth, it wasn't the vessel, it's the message. Ones that resist God's choice have a difficult time in life. And that's really anything in life. It's not even speaking about a person, but in this regard, when you disagree with God's choice, you're going to be defeated. And I'm not just speaking of receiving a pastor. I'm speaking truly and especially of the rib portion. Ones that are staying in this wondrous, glorious gospel of his grace to win Christ. We should be in love with Christ in them. In love. Amen? Now, throughout David's life, some never received him. They never received him as the Lord's chosen. It didn't end well for Saul, did it? It didn't end well for Absalom, did it? It didn't end well for Joab. It didn't end well for Michael. We could go on and on and on and on. But the thing that they didn't realize, they were not coming up against a man. They were coming up against God. Okay? I want us to reach beyond just thinking about whether it was David a king or a pastor or a teacher or something of that nature. I'm speaking about our brothers and sisters truly in the rib portion, body of Christ. How much we need to love one another. These are marvelous truths, brothers and sisters, that we live in right now. And none is more important, listen to this, than receiving in fervent love with no hypocrisy those of like precious faith. I do not care about their history. I do not care about their history. I do not care about what they did. I do not care about how they hurt you or they hurt me. If they're running and staying by the stuff, abiding in love with this precious message, then I'll tell you what, we best love them with the most pure, height, first love, love, with all gladness. And receiving and holding such in reputation. To not do that and have that love will cost you. I plead with everybody here tonight. It will cost you. It's a perfect love. And it's a love, in that perfect love, it abounds in joy to see brethren run. It's a salve and an encouragement that'll come forth in your life. I don't care who it is. As Brother Hill used to say, the love of God makes you love everybody. And I'll tell you what, this bridal love, it can help you. You can't be still in letting people know how thankful you are that they're wanting the whole counsel of God. that you lay it all aside. It doesn't matter. That's all you see. If you're seeing first love gospel, that's all you see when you see one another. I want to win. Amen. And I want you to win. And I'm going to tell you something. The one he's going to marry is the one that loves perfectly like him. That loves perfectly. It's the lover. And I'll tell you tonight, it's a wide open altar up here. And if there's something to be worked out, as David said, if there be any wicked way in me, and I'll tell you what a wicked way is, when you don't love your brethren perfectly. Search me, O Lord. Search me. Change my heart. Lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, be dismissed.